Like, so I don't know. And when I asked my wonderful PT Hunter, why is this moving? This is the weirdest thing I've ever been through, because it keeps the pain moves. It may be behind my knee. It may be down here. He said, well, we see that often in geriatric patients.
Oh, boy. He's lucky you couldn't jump up real quick and bop him on the head.
I looked at him. I said, you realize I'm on steroids, right?
Yeah. I'm on the roids.
I am. On the
and
roids.
I'm about to roid rage all over your face as soon as I get over there. Hold still. Wait, I'll be there in a minute.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail painting, home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
What's going on, watermelon?
I tell you what, I wish I had a watermelon. That sounds really good right now. Are we going to do the watermelon thing? Are those fools going to do that watermelon thing in the pool again?
You know, I will leave all of that to them.
Same.
If they want to go buy Vaseline and watermelon, they can do that.
Yes, I have a sneaky feeling it might happen, but that was chaotic.
And if they want to shoot... go ahead, get us in.
I'm sorry. Hi, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to episode 191 of Designer Cornbread Podcast. We're so glad you're here. We hope y'all aren't dying of heat.
So we're talking about the 4th of July. And last year, our male people got not bottle rockets, Roman candles.
Roman candles, that's right.
And played baseball.
Oh, I forgot about that.
With Roman candles.
I forgot. I totally blocked that from my mind.
The ball of fire at one another and try to hit it with a bat. Did any of them actually hit one?
I don't know, but I feel like one of mine got a hole in his shirt, you know, burned through.
No, JB did. Yeah, JB.
It was JB. It was one of yours. Okay, I thought for sure it was Hudson.
And then Ron got hit in the head with one.
That's right. See, I blocked all that, you guys. I only keep the good, I don't, all the unsafe memories. I'm like, what? Yeah, I remember what Susan, it's so funny. That's what my mother-in-law used to say all the time when we'd be all, you know, getting together and Tim and his brother Pat would be telling stories about, remember when this happened? And remember then she's like, where was I? Where was I? I don't remember that.
Yeah, no, you just gotta.
We have a selective memory, you guys.
So, did I see something about a boy mom, you know, with girl moms? They're like, are you okay? Are you okay? And boy moms are like, I told you not to do that.
Exactly. Like, told you.
Yes, told you.
Dumb. I know. It's a true thing. It's like, okay, go on. Go on and give it a shot. But yes. Things are getting very festive around St. Louis. People's yards are decorated up and flagged up, and little parades I think have even already happened maybe in a couple of communities. They kind of try to scatter it a little bit. So it's looking pretty festive.
Yeah. And I know. It's not here. Savannah probably is, but I'm struggling. So anyway.
Gimpy. Yes. The GIMP. You have an update for us on your GIMPing?
No, I'm getting very frustrated with it.
Yeah.
And I'm irritable with it.
Mm-hmm.
It gets better. It gets worse. And it gets better. And it gets worse. And the pain moves. I started physical therapy. Came home after that first session. Was doing fine. Went, folded some towels, and stood up. And when I did, I could not put weight on it at all.
Wow.
I mean, I scooted. Good. Of course, I didn't have my phone with me.
Oh,
couldn't get Ron to hear me. I mean, I just went back to the floor and scooted over to the sofa, and there I sat. And it swelled back up. I'd been on steroids, which was a fun experience.
Oh, okay.
Steroids are awful. Have you had to take steroids ever?
I don't think so. I don't think I have. I know they can cause a lot of swelling and a lot of...
They are you retain water, but they make you feel like you're going to crawl out of your skin. And so you're in a very, very bad mood. You know, and I tried to contain that. I knew, because I knew that's a side effect. And I went ahead and apologized to my family before I ever started it. And but the swelling did go down. Then, you know, after physical therapy, it just swelled right back up. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Still irritating it a little bit. It's hard because you go to therapy and it gets it irritated a little bit and you have to ice it back again and do all that again. Yep. Yeah. Yep. It's a long process.
And the pain moves. The pain has been in the back mainly, but then sometimes it moves down to the calf. And then the other day, this is new, it started on top of the knee.
Oh.
And then that day when I could not put any weight on it at all, it was shooting pain up the back of my, at the upper leg. So I don't know. And when I asked my wonderful PT, Hunter, why is this moving? This is the weirdest thing I've ever been through because it keeps the pain moves. It may be behind my knee. It may be down here. He said, well, we see that often in geriatric patients.
He's lucky you couldn't jump up real quick and bop him on the head.
I looked at him. I said, you realize I'm on steroids, right? Yeah.
I'm on the roids.
I am. On the
and
roids.
I'm about to roid rage all over your face as soon as I get over there. Hold still. Wait, I'll be there in a minute.
I'm going to tell you, it was awful. I mean, I just felt like I was going to come out of my skin. And there were a couple of nights. Of course, you don't. It's insomnia. It's, and I had all these crazy dreams. And Ron at some point reached out. I must have been tossing or trying. I don't know, but it was very fretful sleep. And Ron at some point reached over and touched me. And instead of being comforting, went, good Lord, you're all on fire. And I was like, and I was burning up. I mean, it's just like,
that doesn't sound good. I don't know that that's worth doing. That doesn't sound good.
It was 6 days. It's just a 6 day regimen and it starts coming down. You know, you take six and then you take five and then you take four, then you take three, then two, then one. And I knew that days two and three were going to be bad. And I just was prepped for it. But I mean, crazy dreams. I'm having all these crazy dreams about babies. And one dream I had, we like kidnapped a baby. And then all of a sudden it clicked in with me of, oh, wait, this isn't right. Oh, we're going to get in trouble for this. How are we going to get this baby back? You know, I mean, crazy stuff. And then I dreamed that I shot somebody in the head for the good of the community.
Oh.
And then these are dreams, people. This is not reality.
This is dreams. This is not.
Nobody come arrest me.
Settle down.
And then I dreamed, and this was kind of funny, but, you know, a woman older than me, in our church, I dreamed it was Wednesday night. And she said, well, y'all aren't going to believe this, but y'all, I'm having a baby.
So you just had baby on the brain and all somehow.
Babies. I'm having all these dreams about babies. And then I dreamed last night, I dreamed that down here, you know, where the farmer's market is, mom was driving and all of a sudden she went, kind of off the road. And so I had to get out and there's all this like rubbish and all this stuff, garbage bags. And one of the garbage bags came open and there were dead babies in it.
Oh my gosh, Joni, this is telling you. Explicit. Sorry. Rating warning.
I'm telling
triggers.
You.
What is this the deal?
I don't know. I don't
what
know.
What does babies, I feel like babies and dreams must mean, I mean, obviously
it's
like
it means something.
It's
I don't
something
know,
new. It's a new, something new.
Well, I don't know, but I had to call I called 911 and then one of them was alive.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was crazy. I'm ready for the steroids to completely get out of my system.
Yes.
Because it's bad.
That's a lot. Anyway. Okay. That's a lot. Well, thank you for that wonderful medical update.
I did it before you all came, so hopefully this is...
That's right. Bless your heart. That sounds terrible.
It's awful. It's awful.
I know. Well, we gotta get you better. We'll do some swim aerobics in the pool, just like the old ladies at the center.
I've been doing them.
I know.
And they
I know.
Just... Anyway. I'm frustrated, and I'm mad about it. So it's been a month, and I'm not... Yeah. I'm not good with this at all. So.
Wow. No, it's understandable. It does take a long time, though. It does. So it doesn't mean you're not getting better, but it takes a long time. which is not fun. The only benefit is... Go ahead.
You know, I sent a text to all the kids coming for 4th of July and basically said, you're grown people, you're on your own. You can cook for yourself. I'll be in the pool.
Not going to be your typical Aunt Joni situation this time.
No.
Which they were all like, that's fine. Yeah. They're like, nope. We're just coming to hang out. And I said, we all know how to order pizza and they can get food. Yeah. It's thank God it's so easy when they're big. Well, I mean, thank goodness. We couldn't have done it when they were little.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-mm.
No.
If one of us went down, we would have had to cancel. If one of us had gone down. Well, I know you're probably right. Cause we would have been desperate.
Yeah. We'd have gotten it figured out.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they already got their grilling plan. And I mean, Avery and Joey were getting meat this week. I mean, everyone's, it's going to be fine. I've got the Trader Joe snacks. I told her before we started, I went today and got the delicious Trader Joe-ness, and including a variety of lady cheese. So we will be just fine. So if nothing else, we'll have those spicy tortilla roll-ups and cheese. Yeah. Okay. What really? And again, kind of like my packing, I'm like, Holly, get serious here. You need maybe two other outfits besides your caftan and your swimsuit.
And your swimsuit. That's it.
Like you really don't need. I mean, you know, I'm throwing in a couple of, you know, because who knows, we'll go out to eat. We'll go down to the fireworks and all that. So I got a couple of things, but I'm like, don't go overboard, honey, because you just don't need it.
Nope. Nope.
That's a great kind of trip, man. That's like ideal. It's ideal. I did something fun on Friday. I went to the art museum and went to the special exhibit right now going on. It is called Ancient Splendor, and it's art in the time of Trajan, who was a Roman emperor in like the first century AD. So it was very, very cool. It's stuff that's been that the exhibit, you know, there's pieces in it on loan from museums in Italy and the Vatican Museum. So it's stuff that we won't, you know, really get to see any other time, which is very cool. So I went and did that by myself. That was my reward for my week. And I just read every little plaque and I just read all the things and beautiful sculpture, you know, just beautiful. It's hard to imagine. And that's, you know, like I said, first century AD or whatever. So, I mean, that's not too long after, you know, Christ and Paul and kind of those times, at least in Rome, of course, but it just makes you, I always just, you know, I'm a big history nerd. And if you combine it with art, I'm even more of a nerd. I mean, there was pieces of frescoes from homes in Pompeii and, you know, you're just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like that's a real thing. So that was really fun. I love to do that. I love to go with people, but you know, you can kind of separate, but it's fun to go by yourself and you can just go at your pace and it's free on Fridays. The special exhibits are free. The museum's free all the time. We have a great, spectacular art museum. If you're in St. Louis, and especially if it went this hot, the art museum to get in is free. There is a garage you can pay to park in, or else there's just parking on the in the park out there. And but on Fridays, the special exhibits are free also. You have to get a time ticket. So you go and you go to the little desk and just say how many and they'll give you a ticket. But like I got right in because it was like 12. It was like noon or something. But yeah, so it was very, very cool. Very worth doing. It scratched that little itch of like just kind of, you know, seeing new things and going, huh, that's crazy.
I do enjoy going to museums, historical places, things like that.
I do too.
Because you're right. I mean, you're not on anybody else's time frame. You can take your time. You can read because what's interesting to you may not be interesting to them and they're off ready to go. And, you know, and I enjoy reading all the stuff. And
yeah, it's fun. It's just like you can get into your own little world.
Yeah.
You know, you just get in your own. And it's fine to, when we do go, I mean, if it's just Tim and me together, You know, even then, I mean, we separate. We just sort of, like in some, it depends. Like in D.C. and the big museums there, like and in the Holocaust Museum, we stayed together because A, it was so crowded, and B, you're kind of experiencing all that together was, we were the same. We both were interested in that and wanting to read everything and do all that. But you're right, at some places, you know, but then you just can kind of, you know, if you go with people, it's usually our family, you know, whatever, it's like, fine, we all know, like, everyone go at your own pace and we'll see you at the end. And if you get done and want to go sit or do something else, that's fine. So, but you do still feel a little bit like, oh, I need to hurry or, you know,
yeah, yeah,
I don't want them waiting on me or they might be ready to go eat. When it's with your family, someone's always ready to eat. Lord, someone's always especially wanting food.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Someone's always like, and you're like, we ate before we came. We told you to eat. Well, I didn't. I wasn't hungry then. And then you're like, bah.
Right. Right.
Like, who's calling that?
I mean, even like going to Silver Dollar City, I am perfectly content for them. Y'all go.
Same.
And because there are so many little things around Silver Dollar City, like little signs and little that most people just skip right over, you know, and they don't take it in. And there's just so much there.
And that, just going into
we're not
the,
talking museum stuff,
no.
But.
Not quite the ancient Trojan. Trojan.
Yeah. No. But still, just funny little signs that, you know, most people typically miss.
Yes, or like the little spots in the little corners or the little, like, the apple butter little place down in the, you know, in the old homestead and then the candle dipping place. You know, the places that I just like to go in just kind of see. So, yeah. But, you know, surprising no one that you and I can, like, be off by ourselves. Surprising nobody.
And talking, I mean, and then, and you talk to the, you know, the characters or the performers or, you know, some of them and you just, you know, some of them we develop relationships with.
Yes, that's true.
But and they may know us by different names. That's neither here nor there.
No, it's nobody's business.
When and they're young, they're kids, that's what they're going to do is run from ride to ride to ride. But you admit there's just so much more richness there.
Yes. It's fun to just be able to do either one. It's fun to do all the phases are fun when the kids got old enough to start being able to go more on their own and stuff. Then that was a, you know, we could just go sit on the porch and eat our apple dumpling or whatever. That was like nirvana. Oh, yeah. So I could use one of those dumplings
apple
right now.
Apple dumpling and cinnamon ice cream.
Mm. On that breezy porch overlooking the
rocking chairs.
Yes.
Overlooking Echo
Hollow.
See,
most people don't know about that spot.
No.
A lot of people don't know that spot.
We're not telling them.
No.
We're not telling them.
It's none of your business. If you don't go looking for stuff, you don't get to find it. But it's a great spot. It's peaceful. There's a breeze. And you just sit in your little rocking chair. So overlooking the Ozarks. So pretty great. I don't even know how we got on this topic. But anyway.
You went to an art museum.
I went to
an art museum. And somehow, I took it to Silver Dollar City.
And somehow we're on the porch at Silver Dollar City. It's fine. It's all the same. No, but that was really, really fun. Yeah. And then that night when I came home, I was telling Tim about it. And I think we met somewhere and got a little snack. I don't remember. Anyway. And then he and I decided that we needed to rewatch the movie Troy. Do you remember that movie? Did you ever?
Yeah.
You remember who's in that movie?
I don't remember. Who plays Achilles? A whole lot of it.
It's Brad Pitt.
That's
a good Brad Pitt movie. None of this trickery that your husband did to you.
No. The one where he was not nice.
Brad Pitt was Achilles. So this was a good. And then I can't remember the guy who was Hector. He was so good too. Just good actors. It's a good movie. If y'all haven't seen it, it's from like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know, maybe 2010 or 2014. It's an older movie, but, you know, based on the Trojan War and the Helen and Paris and Hector. And I mean, it's all those characters and very action-y. But anyway, we thought we needed to watch that, even though that was like Greek and not Roman, but also in preparation, because we're very excited about the movie, The Odyssey, that is coming out in theaters this summer. I don't get excited about movies too often, and I don't go to see them in theater very often at all. But give me a big blockbuster, like epic. You know, I went and saw all the, any of the Star Wars ones that came out. Yes. And they was always in May too. Like the good summer, like Star Wars, The Lord of the Rings, the, you know, big, cool movies.
Narnia. Most of the Marvel. Now the Marvel's getting a little.
Yeah, even some of the Marvel. Yeah. I think we did see a few of those. But yeah, like those big that you're like, you want that big experience. That, you know, you can watch it at home too. But I'm like, so we're very excited for The Odyssey. I think it's coming mid-July. It's around the corner here. So that'll be really good. I'm really excited about it. I think Matt Damon is Odysseus. So there you go. Little culture, little movie. Who knows? Sure. So other than that, the only thing I've been doing is, you guys, and I'm not going to go into it all. I think Joni already heard me rant about it the other day. I'm just letting you know, I'm deep down the Idaho 4 murder rabbit hole. I'm deep down in that hole again. I'm in that hole and I don't want out. Don't come get me out. I'm down the hole. And all I want to say is, it looks like I was right. Me and
so
a million. And a billion other people. Yeah. So the latest, in case you all, I mean, this is a terrible subject. I mean, this is, you know, it's a horrific crime. And I think that's the thing that honestly, I mean, I know that's the thing. Go ahead.
If I can tell about my dreams.
True.
No, I said, if I can tell about, yeah.
That's true. Your dream was probably a little worse.
Yes.
So this was back in, I want to say 2022, I think was when these happened. The four college students at the University of Idaho were brutally murdered it was kind of an on-campus house. They kept saying off-campus, but it's right there by Fraternity Row. It's pretty much on campus, but a house. Four of them in separate rooms on separate floors were brutally killed. And two of other roommates in their own rooms were spared, were not killed, were, you know, not even attacked. Nothing happened. And you've all heard, you know, or maybe you haven't, but they probably about, I don't know how many weeks later, it was in December. That happened in November, right near Thanksgiving. And it's just so sad. Anyway, a few weeks later in December, I believe at some point they arrested a guy, Brian Koberger, who is, you've seen him all over if you watch any kind of true crime. And anyway, long story short, just a lot of things wrong with this case. Just a lot wrong with this case from the beginning, from the get-go. Do I know everything and why and who? No, I don't. But there's a lot wrong. And one of which,
a lot of things just did not add up.
Didn't add up. Okay. Did not add up. And a lot of that actually being the way it was all handled by the surviving roommates who didn't call 911 till almost noon the next day. And this happened supposedly 3-4-ish, supposedly. I don't even know if that timeline is correct, but in the morning on a, you know, early Sunday morning. And they heard stuff. The one saw somebody in the house, opened her door, saw this mask. And now, I will say, and this is always my thing, kind of bothers me a lot of the creators because they're like, oh my gosh, there's no way. But you do have to understand the baseline behavior of a college campus and of this particular house. And it's not necessarily unusual for people being weird and games and, you know, like that's not like you and I would go if I opened my door and heard screaming and, she heard crying and she heard all kinds of stuff. And she's lying, allegedly, in my opinion. She's lying, actually proven out. She's lying. One of the roommates who survived, who saw this person. You know, so you have to take all that into consideration. They tore the house down within weeks after, before the trial, before anything. And this is a weird house, you guys. It's a very weird student house. It's got like three floors all like separated and jaggedy, and the layout's very weird. And you've got, you know, a surviving person saying, you know, this is what she heard, and she heard this, and she heard crying in the bathroom, and she heard somebody say, I'll take care of you. Because, you know, these walls are so thin, we could just hear everything, but somehow didn't hear the mass murder stabbings that happened to four
people. It was gruesome.
Two different rooms, murdered. Four people.
Yeah.
There's no way this person did it by himself. If he did it, he was not alone. There's no way. There's multiple weapons. There's multiple. It's like the only piece of evidence they have that tie him to this is this brand new pristine knife sheath that got left at the murder scene, like tucked under partially one of the victim's legs. Just the sheath, just sitting there, just tucked under there, with not a bunch of blood on it, couple specks. Again, this is a gruesome situation. And they found a teensy tiny bit on the inside of the snap of the sheath, a little bit of the DNA that matches the suspect. And that's it. That's what they have on something that can be just brought in and set down. And actually was moved, because when the police first went in, the report that they first wrote up said the knife sheath was on the floor. And then in the pictures, it's on the bed. So I'm just saying, I mean, I'm not a detective, but we got some problems, and the house got torn down. So we can't readdress that. We can't do any testing. We can't do any sound testing. We can't do any more anything. And they got this guy's name and they went after him. They didn't ask him to come in. They didn't ask him to meet with them and talk. They like went and busted through his parents' door in Pennsylvania and like SWAT team got him because of this little DNA. I'm like, what is happening here?
Right.
What is happening? So that.
Okay. So now what's happened that you go, it looks like I am right.
Well, the knife sheath, more documents have come out. So they released early this year, they released more crime scene photos, redacted. They released the rebuttal to a couple of experts that were going to be, that the defense hired, that were going to be, they worked on this, and they were surely going to be testifying at the trial. The defense hired them. One is very well known, Dr. Turvey, and he was hired specifically to look at the knife sheath. They're like, don't tell us, make this make sense. Like, you just tell us what you can figure out with this. He's a forensic investigator. Anyway, so he has a whole report and he saw the autopsy, you know, results, and he's seen this. And anyway, and the things he's saying, he's the one that's like, no, I mean, absolutely, you cannot. In the time frame that they're saying, there's no way this is one person. So right there, we don't have, let's say Brian did it. Let's say he was a part of it. We certainly don't have everybody and everything. There was a, in one of the victim's hands, the one male victim, it was three gals and one male. In his hand, and nobody heard about this, was a hank of a piece of hair, torn out hair. It's got the root on it, torn out hair in his hand, was not tested. Was only tested to go, it's not a match with Koberger, but we don't know whose it is. Okay. And there's a hank of hair in the victim's hand.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, that is, yeah.
There's evidence, massive, massive evidence of a cleanup. Because there's very little blood outside of those rooms. There is some, and it's watered down, and then they sprayed it with this amido acid stuff that turns dark, dark, black, blue when it reacts with the protein of blood, and light blue when it's not. And so they can see all these in the living room, all these dark areas. So there was an attack in there, and then, anyway, all the you know, they didn't. There was more male DNA on the knife sheath that was not Koberger's, but they don't know whose it is. But they just know it's not his. Then there is a little piece that is his. So the only physical evidence they have, there's nothing in his car. There's nothing on him. there's nothing they have, that is literally the only thing they have. And this guy was on going to go on trial for the death sentence, which, you know, in Idaho, they were reinstituting the firing squad. So, which I'm not opposed to, let's just be honest. But anyway, and it was going to be expedited if he was found guilty. So here's the thing, though. Here's the kicker that if you don't know. So these defense experts are coming in. They're studying. They're finding all kinds of problems with the prosecution's case. They're just the state's case. They're just like, this timeline doesn't work. And like we said, these girls, nobody, they didn't call anybody. They didn't call anybody. Or they were all on the phone, awake all night long. The one was awake all night long doing stuff, even though they're like, we went to sleep. I was really drunk. Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You were on your phone all night long doing stuff. And nobody went and checked on. She saw the one girl laying on her floor in her room with no pants on, which that's not unusual. Girls run around in their underwear. But this scene was a bloody scene, and there's fairy lights on. She was really drunk. They literally called the 911 the next morning to say, one of our roommates is passed out and we can't wake her up.
Yeah, no.
I'm sorry. Yeah. You were either the worst person, worst friend on the planet Earth, or you're not telling us the truth. So it's just full of really bad holes. And the issue is, again, whether or not you're into true crime or any of those, like, obviously I am. But the thing that bothers about this case is we don't have the right part. Like, we don't have all the people. So, like, does that not bother anybody? like, let's say Goldberger somehow participated in it. We don't have everybody. We for sure don't have everybody. So there's someone else right now wandering around that campus where all those kids are and all those people who's just helped with a quadruple homicide. And we're just like, yeah, oops.
With their hair ripped out.
Yeah, with hair ripped out, his head or her head. I'm not thinking anyway, that's a whole nother story. But so the kicker of the whole thing is, though, these defense witnesses were experts, were getting ready, were doing all this work, were preparing to be there for the trial. And then Goldberger takes a plea deal and pleads guilty. And everything goes away. That they were not told that. The experts were not told this was happening. They knew nothing about it. They reached a deal with the prosecution to take the death penalty off the table. If he would say he was guilty, which is common. This is not an uncommon thing.
Right.
This happens. And especially when the case is coming up. And I mean, you do go, why? Because that's the biggest thing. You're like, well, why would you do that? Why in the world would you say you were guilty and be willing to go to jail for the rest of your life? Because that's what it'd be a life. It is a life sentence for each one of them. Like, you know, why in the world would you do that if you didn't do it? But they're legally, strategic wise, his defense was, they were given all this dump of documents and this dump of disclosures, like within a week or two before the trial was set to go, and didn't even have the time to go through it. Like, they're like, we don't have time to even go through all this. It wasn't organized. It was just like, because they don't have to. The prosecution can just dump the documents. And then it's like, you know, good luck with that. So they didn't have time. So then you risk going to trial with the death penalty.
Unprepared.
Mm-hmm. And a risk that a jury could very well, you know, with all the things going on in this town, could find your client guilty and kill him and be expedited death penalty and be done. Or you work out a deal, you get that off the table, you continue to work, you continue to let the documents, you know, go through and do all that, and you prepare for an appeal, which people are like, but he's gave up his rights to appeal. But you never really fully give up that. You always still have, there's always still appeals depending on what it's based on. Like, if you're basing it on new evidence, you know, that's something that you always get to appeal. The other thing, too, that's very interesting is he said pleaded guilty according to the deal. That was what he had to do according to get this deal. He has to say, yeah, you know, yes to all those, that he's guilty to all those murders and aggravated assault and burglary and whatever else they charged him with. The state did not require him to do allocution, to tell what happened. State didn't require that. Why?
Because he doesn't know what happened.
Because he's not going to match what their little story is. He can't even match it. I mean, guys, it's not rocket science. If you know it's him and it's him, you don't think that I'd be like, you tell us where the murder, we don't have a murder weapon.
Yeah.
We don't have, you tell us where stuff is. You tell us what you did. You tell us why you did it. You give us the full story. But they didn't ask for that. They didn't, a lot of times deals are based on that. That's part of the deal is that you can get this plea deal, but you do have to allocute, you do have to say what you did, not just guilty. They didn't require that. Because it would not have matched. It would not, they knew that he could not possibly, there was a big chance they were taking that he wouldn't be able to match what they were saying.
Yeah.
So you guys, there you go. Who knows? Who knows? He could totally be involved. I'm not saying he's not involved, but we definitely don't have the whole story. The roommates are definitely lying, especially one of them 100% allegedly, in my opinion, proved out by a lot of evidence. is not telling the truth. So, and why isn't she dead?
Yeah.
Opened the door, saw the person who just unalived two people upstairs, came down and probably came across the girl in the kitchen, was probably not even probably going to unalive that person.
Go after her, yeah.
Came across her, struggle, stuff through, she's running through the living room back to her room where her boyfriend is in there getting beat, getting stuff, blood happening then and there, and then severe 67 stab severe on her. Meanwhile, while the 6'4" 200 and something pound dude never is able to get out of the bed and is unalived there. Or is this person doing this at the same time? Is Brian Koberger a super ninja? Well, what's going on? Not possible.
And
there you have it, folks. And then the one who saw you and opened the door and shut and locked her little flimsy cardboard door, you're going to just leave her alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
She didn't do anything, Holly.
I know. She's fine. I guess we couldn't let the one run off and get into her room safely, but we're going to let this one who sees me, we're going to let her. Now, the other girl was totally downstairs and probably legit did not. She's more scared. The one that was downstairs, I think, knows a lot more and is not telling a lot. But it seems like wasn't as much a part of what was going on, but still probably, you know, I don't know. I feel like you're going to hear people screaming. You can. There's recordings outside their house from other cameras and things where you can hear a bunch of activity going on and a bunch of things that sounds like really bad screaming. I don't know. So as you can see, guys, I'm in the hole and I'm just going to stay in the hole. So be ready for an appeal. We'll see if I don't see an appeal get filed, in the next little bit, then it'll be maybe another story. But I just don't know why you wouldn't make someone tell what happened.
Right.
If they're the one that did it, I'm like, tell me what happened. And it's either because he can, it's one of two things. Like we said, either it won't match what the story is, what the narrative is that they have, and he won't have anything to really add or tell, or it's going to implicate someone else that they don't want implicated.
That's that. The whole time you're talking about this, I'm sitting here going, who are they protecting?
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot. And there's a lot going on in that little town between the college, between the drug people, between the white supremacist groups, between the parents and what all they have been involved. There's a lot going on. And who knows? And I have no idea. But I would think if I had the person, I would be like, you're going to spill your beans before we give you a deal.
The cover-ups that take place just here in my little small town.
Oh, yeah. People protect.
Yeah.
The smaller the town, the worse.
Yeah, it is.
You add a big university, you add something like that, because the people in charge of stuff, there's just so few. Mm-hmm. And they all know each other and they all run in the same.
Yeah.
You know, and the university has a lot to lose because honestly, they need this to get wrapped up because their enrollment's going to be down. That, you know, who's going to send their kid there when there's, you know, crazy murderer? But now we got them and it's all fine. We're all safe. Except we didn't. So.
Except they're not.
Except you're not. So. Dum, dum, dum. I'll keep you all posted. Welcome to True Crime with Holly and Joni. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, what is wrong with them? I'm just telling you what I've been doing this summer. I'm just telling you what I'm doing.
Maybe I need to start doing this since all I'm doing is sitting here with my knee up and reading.
There you go. You could deep dive on in it. There's a lot on YouTube and there's a lot of crazy. They drive me kind of crazy. I have to be very careful. You know, I can take it in certain doses, but you know, like with anything, there's people that I really like the ones that the YouTube people or whatever. I watch them because like that are giving me the documents, the pictures, the information. Like that's what I want to see. And they're also commenting, you know, they commentate and they say their opinion about this and that. And sometimes it's, you know, helpful or interesting. And other times I'm like, you have no idea what you're talking about. Like you don't know what you're assuming all kinds of stuff. Yeah. And they're you mostly trying to like kind of saying they don't think Koberger did it or he didn't do it alone, kind of what I'm saying. But then they just kind of make a lot of assumptions and it's like, look there. That must be a urine stain. I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, just give me the information that we can know. And like I said, between the knife sheath, the weird DNA, the rest of the DNA not identified, and I forgot to even tell you, the whole chain of custody on it was written by one person's handwriting. Later, like in chain of custody works, each person writes on the thing when they took it out, what they did, when they brought it back. And this is all written in the same handwriting after the fact. So the chain of custody on the knife, on the sheath is totally, it can be totally thrown out. Yeah. So already that piece of evidence that they're counting on would be thrown out.
Needs to be thrown out, actually. Yeah.
So, I mean, like you have that, you have the hank of hair ripped out in the dead person's hand that no one has bothered to find out who that is.
And they tore the house down.
And the house is gone.
Who in their right? I mean, that is
it's so traumatizing for these poor children, Joni.
I know, you know,
it's
that's
so
not
traumatizing.
How the law works, and that is not, that's a
traumatizing.
A
if we have to look at that house, it's traumatizing. Yeah. Well, for the children. For the children that are all drinking, doing drugs, not all of them. You know, that are living these lives, moms and dads, yeah. But somehow they're going to be real traumatized, not be able to look at a house.
Oh.
Yeah. Don't even get me started. I have a question for you.
Okay.
Oh, I did forget one little thing. We didn't even say congratulations for University, Oklahoma University baseball team for winning the, we need to say congrats, college. SEC again. I mean, I'm happy. I guess sure. I'm happy they're in it, but they won that World Series. And it was a great, you know, it was a really good series. And did you see those two Branch brothers? Did you see about those boys?
I did not, no. Uh-uh.
There are two brothers. I tell you, these families that have two people playing and all these things, there was the Branch family, and they have each of their boys. The older one played for Georgia, and then the younger one played for OU. And so they played each other in Omaha, and the younger brother is a second baseman for OU, and he was playing when his older brother got his last at bat in college of his college career, you know, so like already, you know, I just want to cry.
Right, yeah. Uh-huh.
And his mom and dad are up there and they're, you know, and his big brother's about to take his last at bat and he knocks it out of the park. He hits a big old home run for his last
That's
at bat
awesome.
And yep. He's coming around the bases and his brother gives him a little high five, you know, a little, well, high five. And then after the game, they just hugged. I mean, went right to each other and just hugged. And then the other one went all the way to the World Series and got to win that and had a big home run. And it just was like, if I was those parents, I would be completely undone.
I don't know how parents do.
I don't know. That's a lot. Cause I, you know, one is going to get really sad. You know, either one of your boys is going to be really sad and one's going to be really happy, or they're both going to be really sad.
Yeah, right.
That's life. Right. That's sports, you know? Mm-hmm. So anyway, my question for you.
Okay.
Hang on, I'm checking off that I talked about that. What are your top five favorite summer foods? Top five. What would you say for you?
I got to tell you, you know, and this is, I'm going to tell y'all, you can go back and look at the recipe on Designer Cornbread thebrownpodcast.com. It is there. But those cherry chicken kebabs.
Those are
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
So good.
They are very good.
So that, I like a good old Missouri watermelon.
A watermelon. I didn't have that on my list. Watermelon. That is a good one.
Miss Jane Lay's homemade beach ice cream.
Homemade ice cream is one of mine. That's on my list.
Watermelon, chicken kebabs, ribs. Let's be honest, I like ribs any time of the year, but there was always just something about sitting out after the lake and going down to the rib cage and having ribs. Summer food.
I'll tell you one of mine. I'll tell you my top one. My top favorite summer food is the tomatoes, is the BLT.
Oh, yeah.
Summer BLT and tomatoes in the summer. Again, you can't get it any other time of year that tastes like those tomatoes. There's no point in having a BLT in any other time of year. So that's probably because of that. A good BLT with your Duke's mayo on your sourdough or your rye, whatever you like. And that good bacon, that good rights or whatever, thick peppered bacon.
Or that rosemary garlic bacon from Hitman is
Hitman, some thick, that real, because this is, you know, the thing with the BLT, it is a humble little sandwich, but the ingredients are very important because they're just, each of them is a very pure, you know, you want really good crisp iceberg lettuce, you want a really good thick, delicious bacon, and you want the best summer tomatoes and your Duke's mayo, and then whatever good kind of bread that you like. I like a nice thin toasted, you know, but each ingredient being at its best makes it amazing. And then peaches. I had peaches on mine, particularly Campbell peaches, but peaches in the summer.
Did I tell you I stopped and got Campbell peaches?
No.
Yes, on our way back from Branson, we got Campbell peaches.
Oh, maybe you did.
And I just canned a bunch of them.
Oh, look at you.
I know.
Look at you being like a little farmer or whatever. I'm not a farmer. Just an old Southern woman. And then you said homemade ice cream.
Yes.
In the summer, homemade. You can make it other times, but in the summer, and again, as a kid, I remember sitting out on our back steps, turning that thing and adding the ice and adding the rock salt and turning it. And it just is such a memory, and the cold water coming out the bottom. And that was the best stuff you ever had. Corn, of course, good old corn, ears of corn right now. Again, that's not available at another time. Like it's only summer.
I also bought 12 ears of corn at Bader's Market in Campbell, Missouri, and brought those in and cleaned them up. And they are in the freezer right now so I can pull them out for 4th of July.
That is so smart. Do you want me to bring any more? I was going to actually get some. I'm going to go to the farmer's market tomorrow because I was going to bring you some Campbell peaches. So I'll bring some for 4th of July for everyone. Yeah, just to eat. And then my last summer, and again, you could have this at other times, but it just doesn't hit. But a homemade lemonade, like a homemade lemonade.
Mine is that summertime tea.
Oh, your summertime tea.
My fifth. One,
yes,
is that summertime too, because it's got the mint and the pineapple juice, and
or mint iced tea. But the homemade lemonade,
that lemonade with the orange slices in it,
very good. And the homemade lemonade is actually so easy to do just by the glass. You know how they do it all the places? They're like, look at the shaken lemonade. It's just lemon juice, water, sugar, or simple syrup if you rather that would dissolve a little better. But it's really easy to make just by the glass, honestly. I'm going to have some lemonade. Oh, you know, I thought of another one. Okay, and then this makes me think of my grandparents. A good a root beer float.
Oh, I love a root beer float.
I love it with the chocolate. I like a brown cow. In fact, we may have some this weekend if we run out of desserts. I'm like, I'll just send the kids to go get stuff for root beer floats.
I do love a root beer float.
I know. I mean, they're so good.
They are.
They're so good. Okay. This makes me so happy. Summertime food.
I also like you know, just cold vegetable salads like corn salad or any Mediterranean kind of salad, you know.
Yes, a good corn, like with the sweet and the vinegar, and it's all stirred up with a bunch of veggies. Ooh, that's good. But again, the corn is the star, like this time of year, like, you know, this is when you got the good corn. So, corn. Anyway. Okay, now I'm hungry. Are you ready to give us a recipe today, ma'am?
Let me pull it up here. All right, you ready? We are going to do chicken with summer berries.
Ooh.
I got to put on my readers.
Okay.
Because I'm a geriatric patient.
Apparently.
All right, so you need 20 strawberries. You're going to wash them and hull them. Or chicken breast. Boneless, skinless. You need 2 tablespoons of unsalted butter, 1/2 cup of a raspberry liqueur, 1/4 cup of raspberry vinegar, 3 tablespoons of peeled, seeded, and chopped tomatoes, and 1/8 teaspoon of finely chopped garlic, 2 tablespoons of a chicken base, or you know, chicken bouillon, 1 teaspoon of tomato paste, 3/4 cup of heavy cream. You're going to divide that, so hang on to that. 1/2 teaspoon of salt, some freshly ground pepper, 1/2 cup of raspberries, 1/4 cup of scallions. Make sure you slice those really, really thin, and you're only going to use the green part on that.
Oh, okay.
And 8 basil leaves.
Ooh.
All right. So, first, you're going to cut your strawberries into quarters. Leave 8 whole strawberries for garnish. And then you are going to cook your chicken in butter for about 2 minutes on each side, just until it's brown. You don't want it real brown. You want it, I don't know how to explain it. It still is going to be kind of white, but it's going to be tan, about tan. It's going
to be tan.
How
about golden? A little golden. A little golden.
You don't want it just real brown.
You don't want it blackened. Okay. You don't want it real. Okay.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. So then take that off the heat, and then in a small pan, heat your raspberry liqueur. And then is the fun part. You get to ignite it.
Oh.
And then I know it.
Pyrotechnics.
Pyrotechnic cooking. And then you're going to pour it over the chicken while it's still flaming.
Oh, this sounds very dangerous.
It's a fun one.
Okay.
Shake your pan, you know, gently, just and that'll start to extinguish your flames there. And then transfer that chicken to a platter and keep warm. All right. Now that's all the fun.
That is fun.
Over. Then you're going to pour your vinegar into the skillet and stir that over high heat and loosen any particles from the bottom of that pan. And you're deglazing there. Mm-hmm. And then add your tomatoes, your garlic, your chicken base, tomato paste, 1/2 cup of your heavy cream. Then stir that and bring that to a boil. Cook it for 1 minute or just until it's thickened. And then season it with your salt and pepper. Put your chicken and any of the accumulated liquid back into the skillet. Add your quartered strawberries, raspberries, and the remaining cream. Cook 2 minutes or until chicken is almost cooked all the way through.
Okay. Okay. This was what I was wondering about. Okay.
And then you're going to add your 2 tablespoons of scallions and cook for 1 minute longer. Now, I will tell you, chicken now, I mean,
it's going to take longer than this. Yeah.
Chicken now. And if they're real thick breast, I would cut them in half.
Cut them, slice them long ways in half. All those big ones, they cook better. It's better than that big old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you can find I get mine from a butcher here, a local meat market. They don't have all those hormones in them. Mm-hmm. They don't have all those things that make them these
giant, like massive killer chickens. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. So, anyway, and that's it, but your chicken should be cooked to 165. I don't like raw chicken.
No, chicken you can't. Chicken. No. And it's so hard because it's like you want it to be moist, but at the same time you're like, it's got to be cooked. So
yes.
You can get a cutlet, maybe a chicken cutlet.
Now, yeah, you could just anything thinner. Anyway, so with your basil, one of the things that's recommended for this dish is to divide your sauce among like four warm dinner plates, and then place two breasts on each plate. Arrange two basil leaves in the center of each plate and garnish with two whole strawberries.
Oh, pretty. Yeah, putting it on top of that sauce. Yeah.
Sprinkle it more with the scallions. So.
Okay, now that's nice. You got a little presentation going on.
I do. That's usually your department, not mine.
No, but I like just being told like that. That's easy. You just put that nice sauce down and then you put it on top. Uh-huh. My gosh, you guys, that sounds good. That sounds really good. I've never had a recipe like that with that berries, that kind of many berries in the chicken. That sounds very good.
Yeah, I like a good berry sauce, I guess.
Yeah, I do too. It's very delicious. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for that wonderful recipe. I think it's your top three also.
It is my top three. You ready?
Top three.
I'm ready.
All right. So I bought for the 4th of July some pool float chairs. And I am like, they're like slings for them.
Oh, nice.
And so, but they sit up. I mean, it's not like
so you're visiting. Right. Yes, you can sit, you can,
But you're in the water.
But you're in the water. Yes. Those are great.
Yeah. So those pool float chairs. And then since I started canning, and I've had this for a little bit, but I looked one up for you. There is a 2.5-quart water bath canner set on Amazon. It has everything that you, it's got your pot. It's got the, you know, your insert that goes in the pot so you can pull stuff out. It has your every clip that the you
clips.
Need.
Oh, wow.
Clips to pull it out. It's got the magnet to get the little the seals out. You know, you have to warm your seals in hot water. And it has the magnet to pull those out
goodness.
Of the hot water. And it has a little stir to get the bubbles out of your cans.
Okay. So it's a whole little canning 101 kit.
It's a set. Yeah, it's a set. So you don't have to sit there and go, what do I need? Do I have this? Do I have this? If you've never canned before, this will make it really easy.
I have never canned before. It scares me a little.
Oh, there's nothing to it.
I know. So maybe what I need to do is get this kit and then maybe come later in the summer or into the fall, whenever you can do a little series on canning, like a little recipes on some little canning things, and I can try to can something.
We can can some of those peaches while you're here.
You're going to be crippled. You're in the pool. We're not doing any work.
It's okay. I stood up there.
I'll come down whenever this fall. You know, I'll come whenever and have a whole little canning lesson. But if I got that little kit, okay, this could happen. Okay, that's good. That's a good one.
Yeah. And let me see. What was my last one that I did? Oh, there is a Healthy Home wall cleaning spray. And you just... It has a mop if you want to get the mop thing with it. You know, it's on a long pole.
Oh, okay.
But I kind of had one that I had from Norwex at some point, and I just sprayed my pad with that. And then, but I think I'm going to go back and get their mop thing.
Oh, okay.
But I'll make this spray. They have different scents. It's a eucalyptus is what I got for this one.
Very nice.
And then, because you just get, your walls just accumulate, you know, dust over the years. So.
They do. And it's hard to reach if you don't have the right, it is hard to, it makes me, I had to do my fan the other day because it had so much dust on it. It was a disgrace. I mean, I was like, this is horrible. We're going to die. And I had to get up there and get all that off and put a sheet down and go over our bed to try to get, I'm standing on the bed. It was a whole situation.
Where did I see someone, and I haven't done it, but I thought it was brilliant. They take a pillowcase and put it around the blades. And then pull that off, and all the dust goes into the pillowcase.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I could have gotten out the big ladder. I could barely reach them, but I could, so I could get the top. But I would have to be on a ladder to do that pillowcase. But that is actually a good idea because then it just contains it. because I don't want it flying all. Oh, it was a sight. I could have killed myself, but I didn't. Excellent. Oh, gosh. Never. Nobody needs to see that. What a good top three. That is just excellent. Thank you for sharing those. Everyone appreciates it. Okay, gang. That's it for this week. Stay tuned for next week because there's no telling. This is the week. This is 4th of July, y'all. Everybody celebrate.
Oh, and today's my 30th anniversary.
Oh, I forgot. Darn it. I was going to.
30 dadgummit. Years.
I was going to start off with saying happy anniversary to you, and I forgot.
Happy anniversary, baby. Years. 30 years.
30 years, y'all. Listen, that's a lot of time, a lot of stuff under the bridge, and congratulations. Not everybody makes it to 30, so that's a pretty big deal. And I wore a purple suit for you, so I just need that noted. It was pretty. They were pretty purple suits. They were nice for back in the time. But I wasn't into bright cut, and I wore this purple suit.
I did.
It's very fun. Okay, guys. Hope you have a great 4th of July. I hope you're with people you want to be with, or not with anybody, if that's what you would rather. Walking around Silver Dollar City by yourself, whatever you want to do. 4th of July. And until next time, see a palette.
See a patch.
Too hot for all this moving around.
It's hot. It's hot.
I went out today and did some errands. In fact, I got our Trader Joe snackage has been acquired. Full lady cheeses have been acquired. But I took Suzanne Sugarbaker and I had the top down. I'll tell you what, it was nice, but it was warm. It was warm.
It's like sucking in water down here.
It is. It is. It's the humidity, people. It's the humidity.
If you could just get some airflow, you know.
And just drier. Drier air. Yeah.
But I got in the pool for a little bit, but even in the pool, it's just sweltering.
I know. We're going to have to dump like ice. We're going to have like a big ice delivery or something. With all those bodies in that pool. Ugh.